What's up, everybody? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome to another edition of Geek Sypha. Feeling very proud of myself for not saying it incorrectly like a couple weeks ago. Still haunts me.
It only took a few weeks.
It's like when it's the beginning of the year and you're still writing the end of last year's number, like 2023. It's like February 1st and you're like, damn it, wrote the date wrong.
I always tell my team, like, remember everyone, it's the first of the month. Everyone's going to write the last month and then put this month on top of it.
Yep. Every single time. It is what it is. We're old people. Our brains are... Actually, it's not even an old people thing, because when I was a kid, I remember doing it in elementary school and always being annoyed with myself as if I was doing something wrong. It's just like, but you're just a kid, dude. You don't know what I'm saying.
Well, it's a repetitions thing in reality.
Yeah,
it's breaking a habit. It's like an addiction.
Yeah. Did you say an addiction? How is it like an addiction? I know you're trying to lead us into X-Men because the whole comment of like, but how? You gotta hit me with something more.
You could have just leaned into the X-Men, but no.
What were you addicted to? I want to know what he was addicted to.
This weird, knowing this weirdo, I don't even want to know what he's addicted to. Hmm. Yeah, you sick child. You're addicted to Gambit. All right, he's addicted.
You're addicted
to
a man in a skin tight suit where you don't know how to.
Oh,
what? Wow. What? Oh my god.
All right. Well, he put up an F-bomb, so we're going to get demonetized off the rip. Thanks for that, Dave.
Fine.
Can they even scan pictures?
Another Marvel fault.
Images. I thought they were only listening to the audio. They weren't like scanning.
That's why I wrote it.
I hope you're right, Jaws, cuz as far as I know, I would like to think you're right.
They won't notice.
This weirdo who is so offended that a character died.
Like, and you...
Spoiler alert.
Dave, do you want to fix yourself in frame? Because you're still out... You're, like, outside the frame.
Yeah, I'm seeing, like, half your
kitty. I want people to be able to see the shirt to remind.
Remind them of what?
Now we're done.
You understand this is the most important thing that Cajun has ever done since its inception, right?
First of all,
hold on.
You were wildly wrong.
Dave, you got to explain something to me. A character in the story sacrifices himself to save people, and you're mad that he did the right thing?
No, I am actually mad that it's the only time in 6 seasons now that they didn't fall. Like, they've changed. Perfect example. Storm gets shot.
Yeah.
Gets shot by Trask.
Mm-hmm.
Who she defends. The point is she defends somebody. You can change the thing that defends. You could have made it anyway.
Wait, Dave, before we start, can you please fix your frame, though? Because this is going to make it hard for later. I know you're really excited about having a Gambit shirt, but editing-wise, this is going to be a complete mess for us later when we're trying to make clips. It's going to be your head like cut here.
You know what I'll do, Marvel? I fix my mistake.
You're not even going to say Gambit. I'm going to say Ambit in the clips.
Oh, here we go. We're getting taller. Ambit. Yeah. Oh, there you go. See, that's perfect. You got Gambit and your head in the frame.
Yeah. Look at that. Anyway. You didn't open it yet, you goof.
Wait.
I haven't moved yet.
We'll let you continue. As you were saying, thank you.
All of the things that they have done in the show,
right?
In all the seasons,
right?
You could maybe say not necessarily applicable to half of season 5 because of all the weirdness that happened at the end of that season in the original airing of it, but they've always stuck to the source material. Because I'm not just upset about, don't get me wrong, I'm blatantly upset about Gambit, because like, you messed around with Gambit. For me, as my characters, right, if we even go back way back, Wolverine Origins, not the best Wolverine movie. Screw over Deadpool, screw over Gambit, both of my all my favorite characters, you give me a big F-bomb in one movie. You give me Deadpool back just to then chat on Shatterstar. Then you finally bring this show back. I'm happy as all hell. I'm even accepting he's going to become a bad guy. That's cool. Then you kill him off. Why does that not make sense? Because him, Marrow, Magneto, don't get me wrong, I'm boisterous about my character, but all those people don't die in the comics. This is tangent.
I'm pretty sure like 2 weeks ago I had a tangent about a costume and you literally beat my ass into the ground.
A costume? Wardrobe?
You let, no, but wardrobe.
You're going to compare ass. Someone's life to wardrobe.
You understand
you're
X-Men
wrong.
Characters don't stay dead.
You're I wrong.
Mean, yeah. Okay.
Colossus
Dave.
Caught a whole virus and the nigga Dave, is alive. Yeah. Like,
as a comic, Dave, as a comic book fan, as a comic book writer, as a comic book collector, all those things, you have to know Gambit's not actually dead. Gambit's
did you
not
see
dead.
Today's like, episode?
Like,
he dude, wasn't. X-Men were featured.
His we death even... is what sparks Charles's need to come home.
Charles is always melodramatic and he's like, yes. Don't sense him, and he's freaking out for nothing.
You know what's funny though? Hold on. You know what's really funny? Yeah. Gambit's not even a part of the original team.
Yeah.
He's like on this, like the second or third. And then I guess Jubilee counts as like the fourth generation.
Funny enough, I was
and
actually
so you're telling me that Gambit dies. Like, oh snap!
Funny
I'm
enough,
out of coma.
Yeah, I gotta even go further, Wendell.
Gambit is
enough,
actually after Jubilee.
Thank you. Gambit's after Jubilee. So much to the point that today's episode was loosely based off X-Men 275. Don't want to jump ahead, but yeah. Professor X doesn't know who Gambit is. He comes back. He's like, who's this nigga? Because Storm brings him from freaking Cairo with her.
But I'm just saying, like, within the context of the cartoon show.
I know.
Right?
No.
Yeah. And he's like, yo, wait, don't run away, little girl. Gambit's a mutant. I'm a mutant too. And he just gets taken out by the Sentinel in the mall. But I'm just like his, what, his, I guess, adoptive daughter, Jean Grey, gets kidnapped and cloned and all that stuff. All that his adoptive son, Scott Summers, hasn't having issues. Nah. I'm asleep. Cajun dying. Oh my goodness. All that seasoning gone.
I will say this. I will say
that jambalaya was good. I gotta come back.
I think he was trying not to connect to them, but when he had that whole moment of doing the class and talking, first of all, okay, let's start off. Let's do the review of the episode because X-Men 97 episode 6, Life Death 2. They did the episode the way I wanted them to do it instead of that split thing that they did with the Jubilee episode last time. Mm, yeah. We got an episode that was intertwined normally and naturally, like I expect episodes to be done. They so already Galactic I was
Storm. It was cool. They did Operation Galactic Storm and they picked that story specifically because it happens in the 90s. And that was dope that they did that.
Mm-hmm. It was
Galactic
great.
Storm is an Avengers story, but it involves the Shi'ar going after the Kree. And the fact that they just put that little bit in there.
Right. At the beginning.
Dog.
Also, the fact that we saw Vulcan.
Yeah, they just that was you see, that's casually, how you do cameos. That's
yeah,
how you do cameos.
You're just casually throwing in Vulcan. So if you guys haven't watched the episode yet, the episode starts off with us seeing
Shi'ar space with the Shi'ar Empire attacking the Kree or the Kree attacking Shi'ar. They get to Deathbird, who they don't announce her real name, which I don't think she has a real name, but Deathbird aboards this Kree ship, lays waste to mad people, including Ronin. Yeah. Beats his
Gladiator
ass.
Is there.
Gladiator shows up with the Imperial Guard. These guys try to buck up and they're like, nah, don't do that. And Ronan's like, what you gonna do about it, girl? And then he tries to shoot her, and Gladiator's like, nah. Nope. And like, I love down. The animation of like the seismic, like the sound breaking, because that just sent your jaw into next Wednesday. Like, that was crazy. He got beat up.
They really did one of the best nods to Superman. With as because Gladiator is a lot of people have said, sure, you have Sentry, you have Blue Marvel, you have a bunch of these characters, Hyperion, you have a bunch of these Superman-esque characters in Marvel, but Gladiator is kind of the true
one for one.
Yeah,
he's like, an alien who comes and like
and he pretty much has every exact same power, right? Because Sentry doesn't have laser beams from his eyes, Blue Marvel either. I don't know if Hyperion does. Maybe he does. I don't remember. But, like, Gladiator really does have almost exactly the exact same power sets as Superman, as far as I can tell. Mm. And when you're watching
the breath.
Yeah, he did the breath. He did the laser eyes. He did a sonic punch. Like, he did almost all of it.
He did a bulletproof. He did
it. Yeah, invulnerability, all of it. So, you know, you watch it and you're just like, cool. Like, this is, for those of you who don't know who Gladiator is, that's the moment where you saw all of that and you're just like, noted. This man is
For people that are younger or maybe like a little bit younger than us, Gladiator is the guy that started off, I'm the Juggernaut.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, he grabs Juggernaut's hand and just like flicks him.
So the guy that always did like, so some people were like redubbing like hilariously all the X-Men cartoons, and they were always like, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch," and just Juggernaut comes in, and so there's a part where Gladiator comes in and throws Juggernaut like whatever, and then he's like, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch."
Yeah, that was like the first meme, and then they kind of overkilled it.
No, I think they only killed it when
they put it in the movie.
The movies,
yeah, that's when they killed it.
And then they before the movie came out, they took down that guy's stuff.
Yes, they messed him up.
That guy first, yeah. And then they put it in the movie, and I was like, that's rude,
silly bitch. Your weapon's gonna harm me. I'm the
Yeah, man, that shit, Roy Ebon's world. Shouts to that. Anyway,
they really went and took this man's content down.
Yeah, yeah. You're about to get blown up, born in us, and you're gonna use
Dashy XP. Shout out to Dashy XP. Yep. That's his name. Dashy XP.
Wild.
Master. We remember. We remember.
We remember.
Yeah, this episode was dope. Shi'ar space in the middle of them trying to take over the Kree and shut down Ronin. My girl Lilandra. Shouts to that name getting popular. Watch how many kids are gonna have that name in the next couple of years. My girl goes and says, which I like how they touched up her complexion too, made her a little bit in between, you know.
Yeah.
In the earlier cartoons, she was a straight white, and I was just like, and I noticed, I'm like, wait a minute, she looks like some nice. So we gave the Shi'ar a little in between look. She was announcing that she's getting married to a Terran. And boy, them niggas are racist.
Yo, they got fast.
I mean, to be very honest with you, within the context of the Marvel universe and cosmic universe, Earth ain't nothing.
Shit. Oh, like, yeah. It's just Earth ain't nothing. Honestly, when Deathbird came in and started calling them like the ghetto or like...
Yo, you know, she just... used ghetto freak fluids, bro.
Freak fluids.
These guys can't even fly off planet. They're only now figuring that out.
The fact that humans, Terrans, are considered like, and like to play it up like he's a Terran and he's not even one of the good Terrans, he's a mutant. It's like, my God, you're not even just racist.
Wait, then what is better? Like a normal one that has no powers? Someone that couldn't even reach her across the space?
No, technically she reached him.
I was so confused by the fact that she thought of Charles as lesser because he's a mutant from Earth, even though he has the same power set as your sister.
Yeah, but Deathbird's ignorant. That's why she's not queen. That's why she got brought to school, bro. And then she got an apple thrown in her mouth. I mean,
I don't know if I'm throwing apples, so I'm going to be calling me freak fluids. I'm throwing a more.
I mean, it's a big taste of humble pie to be thrown.
Man,
she paralyzed you, put you in your place.
An apple.
Deathbird's just mad that she didn't get juxed. That's her problem. That's it.
I did love seeing that classroom scene though. Charles being like, when Charles was just like, enough, class in session. How are you gonna have a council of an alien planet and be like, listen here, we're sitting in a classroom of my making, and I'm gonna teach you guys a little history about your own planet, not the one I'm from. Your planet. I'm going to teach you how y'all have been taking advantage of everyone and essentially describe what we know over here as colonialism, which was fantastic. Like, this is one of those scenes where when I hear people to complain about X-Men being more aware, it's just like, I get this scene. I get what people, I get why the angry neckbeard nerds are like, because that scene was pretty funny.
That was really pointing right at them.
Oh my God. Right at them. Stop this right now. But I mean, you are colonizers.
But I mean, in all, like, even the old cartoons, they're pointing at racist people, like Friends of Humanity, and the fact that the Creed, the head of Friends of Humanity, they finally kick him out because, like, oh, well, we know who your dad is. We send you back to your daddy.
Yeah.
And he's like,
hey, boy.
And you're like, welcome home, son. You loser. You non-mutant. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I understand what you're saying. It's just that when you have a scene calling out colonizers and colonial practices, in the episode. As much as I get it and I want them to do that, I also understand the big boneheaded weirdos being like, you can't point that out. It makes my kids uncomfortable, and then they shouldn't have to learn this in school.
That doesn't make your kids uncomfortable. It makes you uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Now, the thing is about, like,
I don't want Jimmy to feel guilty about his history, bitch.
No, you don't want to feel guilty.
But the thing is it denial or is it just ignorance for you to be that level of, like, how, like, for you to be like, well, no, they're forcing it. It's like, no, but this is literally the subject matter of this entire show, and you're watching this since a kid, and you're still racist. How are you that broken?
That's what we call the victors trying to write history.
What was that other joke?
They're not even the victors anymore. That's the funny part.
What was that other joke again about people missing the whole, like, people our age that are like that and miss the whole thing of Rage Against the Machine? Who'd you think the machine was? Your mom? What the heck is wrong with you?
When they have, like, the basket and the ball going way over, and it's just like, you, the point, like, stuff like that. It's just like,
I saw some wild stuff, like, just like, it was like kids rioting after, like, a Kai Cenat stream, and people are just going crazy in the comments. Oh, these people are worth nothing. Da, da, da. And me being me, I literally just write, y'all are just mad because in like 500 years, your entire race just won't exist. And it'll be replaced with kids that look like me and this guy put together, and the, like, the hate afterwards. Like, when you see that kind of rage come out, they're like, no, what are you talking about?
I remember my godmother, she was looking at the NFL draft.
Oh man.
She was looking at the NFL draft and just watching, like, and she's like, oh, well, she's black, so she's just like, oh, now I see why people are mad, because everyone's coming out mixed and not looking like them.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of Trayvons and Tishons and JJs, all with the good hair and the, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Not getting pulled over in this, bitch. Let's go.
So we have two stories in this episode. We have Storm story.
Yeah.
And we have the Lalandra and Charles nuptials or engagement.
Ooh.
Deathbird challenges Charles to, I don't remember the name of the thing, but essentially has to forget and give up his Terran life, his past, and the X-Men.
That's such angry sister vibes. Like, when
I'm surprised that a council of intelligent people didn't realize that that is like too much. And they did call it out though.
Nah, man.
Yeah, I think if anything, what this episode is really trying to show you about the Shi'ar Empire is, and
they're essentially Europe.
Yeah, they're Europe, but also it's one of the funny things, but unfortunate things that I guess about the Marvel Universe 616. Every alien species is xenophobic. They're all just hugely xenophobic. Like, they're just bigoted, prejudiced creatures who think they're the best and everyone else is beneath them. Every time we introduce, whether it's the Shi'ar, the Kree, the Skrull, the beyond, like all those other different races from other dimensions who come through, and they're just like, oh, you guys are gross. It's like, it's always just this sense of like, y'all are beneath us and we need to eradicate.
That's the reaction. It's not
every time. So
you're green in the face and got balls for a chin. You're saying I'm gross? All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Where's your balls on your chin? Why don't you have balls on your chin?
Yeah.
Move.
Is that a title?
Just why don't you have non-ball looking motherfucker?
Where's your balls on your chin?
That's from Men in Black 2,
though. How do you get your skin like that non-green?
Is that Men in Black 2 where the guy has the balls on his chin?
Yeah.
Balchinian, like
pull it down and he punches.
Yeah. So you like that's the thing, when you have that council, you can see that council already when she announces that she's going to be marrying Charles, a Terran.
The faces killed me. Some of those faces.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like you know what? I'm surprised. Oh my God, it's bad. I was surprised I didn't pull the parallel to like Harry and Meghan. perfectly good women here. In England, Jaws. You couldn't marry any of them. Well, Jaws, I'm not gonna be king, so Jaws. It doesn't kill
Jaws. Jaws, you guys hitting it out of the park.
You guys, all day, all bad.
Jaws 100% for anyone who did not watch this episode. Jaws just hit the fucking biggest home run. That is exactly the feeling you were supposed to get when you watch that scene. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be the moment where Harry introduced Meghan to the family. That is what it was like. That is what that X-Men 97, the writers in that room probably said the exact same thing you just said, because that is the perfect analogy for what the reaction was. It was kind of everyone looking around like, girl, what the fuck are you talking about?
There's no men. Literally
no men. Don't let this dirty Terran touch you. What are you talking? Like, that was the vibe. And as the episode continues, you know, Charles is being Charles. He's being a little cheeky. He's being a little funny.
Manipulative as shit. Oh my God. Yes. She calls him out. She's like, boy, stop. Stop. Dude, check your manipulation, bro.
That was... I like that they showed the flawed Charles here. Yeah, the reminder that... Because when you see Charles in the original he's human. But he's always depicted as this like better than throughout most of the...
He's still got...
Let me finish what I'm saying.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Because you're jumping in and I wasn't even done.
From
the beginning, Charles is depicted as someone who has a vision that for a better future and wants to do better for people. And bit by bit throughout the history of the X-Men, you have gotten Cyclops, Magneto, Jean, every single person has looked back at some of the ways and things that he's done and realized, shit, this dude was a flawed fucking human being who just liked to play intelligentsia and run around like a Fraser Crane. But actually wasn't anywhere near as good or as smart as he thought he was. Skinny, I think you can attest to it because you read the same thing when Myra's going through her 10 lives, and every time she meets up with Charles, she's just like, this nigga is dumb. Like, she remember in one life she comes back.
She just straight up skips meeting him, I think. She
skips Charles. She's like, fuck this nigga.
He goes to Magneto. She's like, fuck him. I can't deal with this yet.
The fact that Myra comes, she has multiple lives. She just keeps coming back. And one time she comes back after she's dealt with Charles the last time, she goes, fuck this dude. He is not worth my time. That's the thing that I like.
What I didn't know about that whole thing is that when she died, the world itself reset.
Yeah.
It's not that she died and then eventually she came back and everything. She died and it was just like, whoop, in the world.
Do you think that... So does that mean the
That's
world...
That's why would... Destiny in the comics is like, no, we need to burn this girl. And they burn her alive. Because Destiny's like, no, I ain't doing that again.
Yeah.
I've been looking for you. Time to die.
Yeah, you need to remember how... And also when they kill her, they're just like, you need to remember what it felt like to die.
Yeah, burn her up.
But that was the time that she was trying to erase the mutant gene, right? Where she's
yeah, when she was basically like she's on like live like 9, and she's like tired of it. She's like, listen,
yeah,
she gave him to kill him.
Yeah, she's being like a little bit of a Trask, and you're like, god damn, this is brutal. Yeah,
but I was trying to keep it like more within the cartoon at least.
Oh, all right. I was talking in general for Charles.
I know in general, yes, but yeah. I'm like more if you want examples from the cartoon, there was Legion, his son. You find out about Moira and everything. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, yeah, there's this mutant that really needs your help, blah, blah, blah. And she springs on him, that's your son. And he's like, wait, what? And it's like, wait, Charles, you were sleeping with her? Wait, since when? This is season 3. How am I supposed to?
You can sleep? You can do that?
Charles, when did that happen?
Charles was pulling in Kennedy, had this girl coming through the back door with the Secret Service.
Oh my God. taking
the secret spiral staircase out the back.
And then what was it? What was the other one? Remember we said this before? Episode 3. Oh man, my team of mutants are losing against Magneto. They're just getting wrecked. All right, Magneto, time to face me. Oh, what you going to do, Charles? Holocaust.
Oh, no!
Like, yo, Charles.
So wild.
Freaking rude.
Yeah, not only Holocaust, just like relive your parents dying.
Yes. Yeah. All of it. And then the Nazis taking you away.
Relive it.
Like, that's messed up. Like, when you think about it when you're older, like, oh.
Yeah.
What's your greatest fear? Okay, Freddy Krueger on a loop. Like, what the fuck? Just like that. Like, here you go. Fuck Charles, man. I didn't like his voice. I understand the guy was trying to do an ode to the old dude, but just make it your own thing at some point. Because he kept going back and forth, and I was just like, motherfucker, just make a decision.
It was a weird voice. Because he was trying to sound, at one point, it sounded like he was trying to be like Mr. Loverboy.
Yeah.
Like,
Mr.
Like
Loverman, Shaba.
Yeah, like there's kind of like a smoothness, like a kind of like, girl, you know what's up. Like you were saying, when he was trying to manipulate her, and he's just like, yo, you ever thought about running the galaxy from my planet, girl? Like, it's just like, oh, Nigga, stop. Like, this is embarrassing. It's like trying to pick up a girl at the club. It's just like, dude, she's above your class. Like,
what's good, girl? I'm bald.
So basically, Lilandra, queen of the Shi'ar Empire, she had to kill her brother to get the throne. Because that was a whole season of, was it the Enkron crystal and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And he's treating her like a stripper. Baby, you don't need this life. Come on, come to my place. Come.
You can work from home.
Yeah.
My galaxy.
You can be an OnlyFans. You don't need to be out here on a pole. That was the vibe.
I mean,
people work remotely all the time.
To be devil's advocate with Charles, though, that would be a good flex, because then it'll mess up everybody on Earth. Nah, you ain't the ultimate beings, humans.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of aliens out here.
They'd kill them even faster.
Sad but true.
Bringing back bird bitches? Nah, we just need to die. Let's get rid of them.
I think pretty much, so the major part of that story ends with, like we were saying, them in the classroom, them getting the lesson, Charles giving the whole lesson. It ends with, and back to a nod to the beginning, where Dave was so very upset, Charles seeing a vision while he was teaching the class of, was it an explosion first, and then he saw Gambit, and then he saw
the
Gambit.
World spin, then a big like pink explosion, and then he looks into the crowd and it's a bunch of skeletons, and he's like, huh? And then Gambit gets all giant, he's like, you? And then he turns into a skeleton, he's like, my brain!
And then he has like a green glow that comes off of him, and that's pretty much that.
Goes comatose, basically, and he's like, I need to see my X-Men. He's like, yo, but we're gonna prove these people right. He's like, bitch, the hell with your pussy? I need to see my X-Men!
Can you imagine breaking up with someone like that?
Right.
Just like, you can't just bounce. Like,
our wedding.
I literally put my neck out.
My other family.
Nah, man, I need to go check on these grown-ass adults who I've trained for years who don't naturally
have these children, man.
Bruh, they're doing... No,
does your parents check on you? Yes, they do. That he's always had, especially with obviously Cyclops and Jean, a very like fatherly relationship.
He's been trying to hit Jean since she was 14.
But, plus, at the same time, he's
trying to be, that's in the comic.
All the stuff they brought from the comic to the show, they're gonna bring that in.
So he's pulling a little Batman with Batgirl.
Batman at least, has legs. I'm not a Charles.
You're obviously not a fan of Charles. Obviously,
there's no coming back after finding out all the nasty shit he did. No, I'm
hating on fucking.
Oh my!
Look, Magneto's a better leader.
The right term, but that's like rough, bro.
Magneto's a better leader, man. Cyclops came into his own when.
Leader is also dead.
I mean,
they're not even in the intro. The intro credits.
They do that to mess with you, bro. They added Nightcrawler, X-Men.
Just like they're assholes who are like, "Hey, guess what? We're not going to address this because both stories that you're going to watch this week are while it's happening.
They're not.
I even called that to a friend of mine. Like, you know what's going to piss me off? I'm not going to even know if they're alive or not. Not from next week, but 2 weeks from now, because they're going to do this shit.
What they did with the whole aftermath of life.
Guys are lucky I missed last week's episode. I've been ranting.
Dave is hilarious too, because Dave is forgetting how TV was less than 5 years ago. You're describing television, Dave.
You're literally talking about cliffhanger seasons.
Yeah,
no, I knew it'd be two episodes. No, but I'm not saying that, but it's like, come on. I want to know what the fuck happens, because I swear, if for some stupid reason Magneto's alive, I'm going to be... Don't even...
What do you...
See, what annoys me?
Was hanging your favorite character to him. What do you mean if he's alive? Leech, who drains your powers, who literally dormants your shit, was hanging on to the guy, and he said...
I love that Leech was there, like... Magneto should have punted Leech. He should have been like, bitch, you are causing... I'm not dying for you, and punted him away.
I would have looked at Leech, been like, hang on. Knocked him the fuck out! And been here, you same dude with the high top who shoots things out of your one eye patch. Go shoot something!
Yeah.
Girl with the kaleidoscope hair, blend into a wall,
I'm not dying because you one mutant is slowing my abilities down and there's 10 other people I could be saving. Guess what, baby? This is a trolley problem and your ass is getting crushed. Like, get out of here. We are not playing this.
Or everybody hang on to Leech and then nobody has mutant powers. What are you guys doing? You've been around this guy for years. You don't know how that shit works?
Power, no.
I mean, to a degree, yeah.
He's not, but he's not like rogue.
he's not like Rogue, but if he gets it with your vicinity, he doesn't even think about it.
I still think he dampens powers.
Yeah, he dampens your powers.
I don't know if he's maybe you're right, Dave. Maybe it's an active thing that he can reduce a power completely to zero, but it feels like because Magneto is an Omega level mutant who can control metal and got crushed by a metallic creature throwing, like hitting him with laser beams, obviously, but he covered himself in metal, still couldn't create a strong enough shield, got hit by the blast. What, where was the Omega level mutant power set in that moment? Like, it felt like it did seem like he was weakened.
Are the Sentinels still metal or they're plastic?
Because yeah, no, I know in the cartoon they said that they were.
Because I know in the cartoon they face them the first time and Magneto like wrecks them and stuff. And then the second time to come back, Magneto tries to move them and they're like, nah, we're version two. We're made out of plastic.
No, these are the regular joints. These are just out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there are some that you see him wrecking.
Okay. Yeah. It's just this big kahuna that he's fucked up. But we didn't talk about that because they decided to solve what happened at Storm and Forge, which I kind of like the take they took with the adversary. Instead of making it, because that's the end of him, instead of making it like a whole like season ending, this the guy is going to destroy the Earth and the mutants have to sacrifice themselves. It's really just like Storm, like, nah, I'm going to embrace this shit. And
the only thing I found weird is like, look, everything was good, but like, I don't see how her powers makes her hair grow.
That's exactly how that goes. That's just how it goes. Her powers is connected to that. Her hair grows. It happened in the comics. She had the mohawk. She got her powers back.
Now it's okay what they do with her with the wardrobe. I got it.
You're going to talk
about wardrobe hate. Selective wardrobe hate.
Selective wardrobe hate.
I knew you were going to. As soon as Dave said the hair thing, I was like, Skinny, he's taunting you. Don't
her
fall.
Her hair comes back. You queef. Her hair comes back. All right. Because she dons the crown of the goddess of the wind and fucking weather. She's wearing her original goddess costume that Professor X found her in giant size. That's why
she can control lightning. She can control the weather. I don't get how she controls like the pores that just like
air follicles. Hey, man. Skinny, it's a setup. Skinny, it's a setup. He's setting you up.
You're so mad over this Frenchman that ain't never did nothing. Look,
first of all, stop saying you're that. He's done fucking plenty. Just because you don't
he
like him.
He hasn't done nothing. What has he done?
Tell me what Gambit's done.
He was death.
I love that.
He was death.
He got turned into a horseman after working.
So Wolverine just killed a bunch of guys. Cyclops just deleted a bunch of people. People can just, manipulate things.
How did you set the trap and then fall into it, Dave?
I just like dickering. I'm just leaning.
Gambit's so important that during X-Men, 201, they all went to, I believe it is Utopia, right? During the Messiah complex and all this stuff. Where was Gambit? He wasn't even on the fucking team, bro. He was a marauder. He was a marauder looking for the baby.
He was in a different storyline?
Not different story. That's two times he's ditched the X-Men. Man, he hasn't done.
I didn't think his wardrobe would make you so tilted, bro.
No, he's not about that. No, you're mad about a cage and he had no stories in 900 years.
I'm finally gets a story
and he has to sacrifice you, and you're big mad. Marvel, you mad? You're Bill O'Reilly mad right now at this shit. You big mad? You
of course mad. I am. Every character I've ever liked. Every single character. I don't even want to try and stop. Who you guys like.
If you guys understand, I'm doing Cameron versus Bill O'Reilly, except that's what I'm doing. I'm taking oats from that. But you big mad over this cage. That's funny. But yeah, Storm transformed into her original suit, which is really, 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 really dope Easter egg. Because if the show is going where I think it's going from here, if Storm's in her original costume, Nightcrawler is in the opening credits. What do you got, Brent? Wendell.
When you say original costume, you mean like the old one, like late 70s old?
Yes.
She got her powers back crown? And she transformed. Yeah, yes. She transformed into that. And then when she went to see Ford, she still had the crown, which means when she comes back next week in those opening credits, boy, she's going to have a different costume. And Nightcrawler's still going to be there. And Wolverine might jump into that brown suit. And then Gambit, I think he's only had one costume this entire time.
Yeah.
He's pretty much had the same costume, it's just different colors.
He's had what, variants of pink and brown?
No, do you want me to get the original comic book where he comes in? Like, I have it somewhere over here.
Yes, it's
but him and Cyclops. There's, no there's like a few people who essentially have the same style costumes, pretty much.
Cyclops changed quite a bit.
Well, you know, so there's lines. Like, there's little lines.
Cyclops is like the original
later, but yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Other than the same costume everyone had, because I won't count that. Everyone had that costume, but I mean, once they all start getting their individual costumes. Cyclops has that one, his X.
Mm-hmm. And then, what were the other ones? X-Factor one.
Sorry, I was mixing up suits in the other
one. He has his X-Factor one. Yeah, he has his X-Men, like, Uncanny, Gold Team, what's his name? Jim Lee costume.
Oh, with the... Is that the one with the cowl over his head?
No.
No, that's afterwards.
Afterwards.
Okay.
That was afterwards.
You're thinking Astonishing.
Mm. Where is Cyclops on this thing? I don't even have him on my blotter. Oh yeah, he's in the corner.
Sorry. Yeah, in the comics he had a few costume changes, but I think the main ones that everyone remembers is the blue and gold, no cowl on the hat. If you were really keeping up with comics back in the day, he was an X Factor, and it was like a very light blue, right? White X.
Yep.
And a full on cowl.
He did white. He jumped. He did. Yeah. When he first started X-Factor, it was blue and yellow, and then he did light blue and white. Then he did blue and yellow again with no cowl, and you're like, okay, relax. Why do you keep doing this? A lot of costumes. They have a lot of seamstresses in Marvel.
Hold on, y'all.
He also did the one with like the swimming cap.
Yeah.
Let's look at this. I found the image. Let's present. Let's just lay it to rest. Let's share the screen and get the exact look of these costumes.
You're talking about Cajun Major?
No, I got Cyclops. Okay. But yeah, Cyclops. We do have a few. There's actually a lot more than I remembered.
Yeah, way too many. Oh yeah, the Grant Morrison stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking only of the initial costume everyone had, the second version of that where he gets the yellow taken off the top, and then the one below with the like the video game version. But yeah, he's and even here, they're missing some because he has one where he has the black with the X over his eyes, and that's not even this one because this one is the one he has when he starts telling Wolverine and the X-Force team to go on missions.
That's not even that one. So that's Astonishing. There's one after that from Utopia where he has the three lines where everyone has an X on their chest, and then he gets the one with the X on the cowls. So yeah, they're missing like two.
Yeah. But yeah, and then I guess I'll look up our boy Gambit Remy to see. Monsieur Lebeau.
I'll just say, I know your boy.
I have a crappy one, but it's not a good image.
I'm trying to find Gambit's different uniforms.
I saw a good picture online where it's like, when I was a kid, this was my assumption of how people from Louisiana were, and it was like one was the commercial from Kia, "Welcome to the Swamp," and
oh my god, I forgot about that commercial.
Hey.
Oh gosh.
Oh my god, Jaws. Save unlocking me. Hey. Like, memories. All right, I can't find. Okay, I mean Gambit does have different ones, but they don't really have. I would essentially have to.
It's all the same costume, just different. Shades of different colors.
Jackets. Yeah, it's like the magenta and the cyan, or a blue and a purple inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some that are like different shades of black, but that's only because of the X-Men movie that came out.
Yeah. X-Men. Movie ends with, show ends with Bolivar Trask getting chased by Sinister Bastion, just in case y'all don't know.
Yeah. Which that's also the only possibility of bringing the characters back.
Yeah.
As in clones?
Yeah, well, there's again. I feel like Sinister is doing a lot more than what we see.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I have a sneaking suspicion he's captured Magneto and Gambit, possibly.
You see, they went from dead to now captured. You're the
no, that's my hope. That's my hope. I want to make it clear. I find both characters have important roles.
Yeah, they're not dead. So I'm down with how they come back.
We have to know they're not dead. Oh yeah. Sorry, Dave. What'd you just say?
I think they're both pretty dead, unless they fuck either the time travel or Sinister.
Okay. Fair. What you're saying is the incarnations that we saw are dead. Clones or time travel versions of them will be brought back.
That's what time travel fixes it.
Cable's not going to just stop. Yeah. So
yeah, that's what we mean when we say that no one stays dead in comic book universes. It's essentially, you know, you kind of just pick up where you left off. Characters have huge memory gaps. So eventually they come back and they're just like, where were you? Were you in a coma? Are you from a different timeline? Are you brought back from the dead? Are you a zombie? Did someone erase your mind? Were you taken over? Like the list of things that have happened to characters and where they were found and how they were found. So, you know, Cable, at this point.
Yeah.
Cable, time traveling bus driver.
Get on the bus.
Magneto died recently in the comics, and I think he just came back because Storm found his spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
He's in a younger body.
Yeah.
And he's in youngish, a younger body. Right?
Youngish body, but he's around.
Interesting.
Because him and Gambit, and is Banshee? No. Banshee's still dead. Banshee's the only one of all the people who died. Well, then in the Morlocks, they're the only people who actually die.
Banshee did die, and I don't know if he came back in Krakoa because they brought him back, but he was all like skinny and zombie formed. And then Hickman was like, nah. and I haven't seen Banshee in the Krakoan times at all. So he could be dead, but I mean,
Before or after Generation X?
What?
The show Banshee now? Being dead.
Oh, after Generation X.
He saves people from a flight or something. Like there's a plane that's crashed.
Nobody wants a screaming guy like that on your team, anyways. Whatever, bro.
Facts.
They didn't even let him scream on the show. He was like, ah!
Yeah, because you know, like, imagine doing the sound reporting for that. Okay, like we need an annoying ass.
That's why.
Don't you remember from the original one?
Yeah. And then he has to like do banter and talk over that. How do you even like
imagine he has to talk and does he lose altitude every time he has to talk to somebody? Like
imagine that.
I 100% was like watching it, and when he was about to scream, I was like ready to press mute because I was like, please don't. And then he dies, and I was like, you know, I feel bad, but I get they did that for us. They did that for the kids who were just like, listen, we don't actually need to hear Banshee scream. We get it. Like, we understand.
Plus, he's too powerful. It seems like every time there's a character that screams or yells or speaks and it'll destroy everything, it's like, nah, we gotta tamp that down. It's too OP.
Do you guys remember the OG toy of him?
Yes.
He just has like his arms that go up, and then there was a flute, a little like whistle that you could hold it, but you could actually whistle through the back.
Yeah,
it's a pause ass toy.
It was good. That was a good playability for that toy.
No, his arms couldn't move forward. They were just.
It does. That's clever. That's pretty clever. all the engineering went into the whistle.
Yeah.
Not down like this.
Since we're already talking about X-Men, I wanted to just read this one piece of X-Men/geek news. Feige was the mastermind behind Kamala Khan's comic book death in 2023. As we know, they wanted to bring Kamala Khan back as a mutant, and now she's going to be in the NYX is the name of that team. I'm guessing that's the New York Mutants.
So they go to school? Fucking.
She's on the cover. It seems like they're doing a new team.
You know what they should have done? Not X-Men comics for a good year. You can't come back after Hickman with some foolery.
Yeah, especially with the Krakoa stuff coming to an end.
It's kind of like y'all are really kind of thin ice. Just leave it alone.
But Krakoa was a bad idea.
It was a fantastic idea.
What are you talking about? How is Krakoa a bad idea?
Oh shit, Captain Bad Take. Let's go.
I saw it as were there good stories? Yes.
Yeah.
But I also found it to be a very lazy way of writing because, dramatic moment, they get brought back. Oh, dramatic moment, they get brought back. Like, I don't like watching something with no consequence to action.
Mm. Wait, there were huge consequences to their actions. You
had brought back to life with all your memories?
But the humans found out about that and then they couldn't do it like halfway through.
You're ignoring a huge aspect of it. If you found out that a group of people, every time they went out, they could die and come back to life, and you don't have that power, would you just sit idly by and go, that seems fair. I could throw entire armies at them, and they could just come back. No, you start to see that as a threat. That, to me, seems like a good story.
That was actually the main basis of the Avengers versus Eternals versus X-Men whole storyline. Like, humans are big mad that they found out the X-Men can resurrect themselves.
Right.
So, like, at one point, Cyclops died, and they had to, like, not resurrect him slash hide that he was actually Cyclops and make him Captain Krakoa, because humans are like, wait, you niggas have been doing this for how long? What happened to my mom who died last week? What happened to this? Why didn't you guys just bring them back? The fuck are you guys doing over there in the Krakoa? And then you have Captain America like, wait. Now. Let's not kill all the mutants.
I was gonna say really quickly, that must suck for Kamala, because she dies.
Basically, that's it.
Hold on. But she's a teenager, right? She's a kid, yeah, right? She dies, comes back, still has to go to school, still has her assignments due and all that stuff. Like, not even I got out of this.
But the other aspect of her story that I kind of don't like is Charles uses, or whatever, whoever was doing it at the time, was using Cerebro to scan all the mutant minds, so that, and also they had to have all the mutant DNA to bring people back.
In the database.
Sinister had Kamala Khan's DNA in the database, even though she was never identified as a mutant.
They basically let Sinister be as nasty as Sinister could be.
I know. Oh, I know. I get that. But
do your thing,
to what Dave is saying, if there's a reason to be mad at the story, I would be mad at the fact that a character who has never been a mutant, Sinister, still went and got their DNA for shits and giggles, and then had it in the database, and their mind was also backed up. But no one knew Kamala Khan was a mutant this whole time. No one tried to recruit her to Krakoa. No one identified her as a mutant. She was just an inhuman with these weird abilities. And it's like, okay. Oh, and now we just brought her back, but we're just going to say, oh, she was a mutant the whole time. Fuck out of here. You're skipping a whole bunch of steps. Like, that's bullshit.
I mean, anyways, that sounds like Mr. Sinister's MO. It's like, let's try this. Put that over there. Oh, she came back. I guess she's a mutant.
Wild.
Mr. Sinister, what are you doing? You're jeopardizing everything. You didn't realize it. And plus, you need to close this back hole, this back door over here, because it's easy to get in. That's a problem, not a me problem.
That whole thing just makes me think, did Sinister just also back up all the villains, like just human people, in case they were mutants? Like you've opened
all
it
the
up.
Ones he cared to be puppets.
Right. You've essentially opened up the story with her coming back, that Sinister was secretly just cataloging humans.
Y'all really need to read Sins of Sinister. Read that.
I mean, I know he's a psycho, and
he's nasty. He does some shit.
He's always been nasty. You need to read a new comic book to know that he's
No. But this story is name. This story is particularly fantastic.
Is this the one that goes into the multiple versions too? The diamond, the heart, the spade. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I should check that out.
Mr. Sinister is like just sitting at his evil computer and just like, I have the whole database of the world. Let me control A, control C, open up new folder on his other hard drive, control V.
Okay.
I'm evil.
Wild.
Can't get this cape over the damn computer chair. He's all like,
hey man, I'm about biology. I'm not about internal design. This is stupid.
He's all like sitting like this and shit. He's like, I can't probably sit down. The cape is
Hello, X-Men. Why is your desk all messed up? Oh, I made my own desk from IKEA. I had all these extra pieces.
Oh god.
But so, to wrap it,
I was gonna say we're wrapped with that. That's the latest X-Men 97 episode. People should definitely check it out. There's only four more episodes coming.
Yeah,
five.
I'll do a peace offering. Fix Gambit and the wardrobe. Just fix them both. Nothing wrong with the wardrobe. Leave that nigga dead till season two. Let's go.
The wardrobe is in 3-4 weeks of bitching.
Hey, listen. Now it doesn't matter. Guess what I got? Guess what I got?
You want to spite me?
Nope. No spite. But there's
spite.
You lost your Cajun, and I got him in the opening credits. All right. I'm good.
That's fair.
I was super pretty good.
So you just move it just because credits. Of preference, anyway.
Yeah, 100%. If I'm gonna lose a Gambit, get a Nightcrawler. Like, you understand? If he's in the opening credits, that means he's X-Men for a minute. Like, before he was friendly, Nightcrawler. Yay, he teleports. He's in the opening credits. He's there now. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm excited for Nightcrawler.
One thing I will say that I really enjoyed my socials going crazy because of episode 5 and everyone losing their mind. Yeah. And I'm sitting here like, wow, you guys never saw Transformers the movie or The Lion King when Mufasa died, and you're just this guy wasn't even your dad for a whole 2-3 seasons. He was just your dad for 20 minutes and he's gone, and you're just like, no, what the?
Also, I think I saw the Beyonder at the beginning of this episode as well. I don't know if you guys saw that.
The Beyonder,
yeah,
the Watcher or the Beyonder?
The Watcher
again. Yeah, everyone's saying the Watcher was there, yeah,
at the beginning of the episode
of episode 5.
The episode we just watched, yeah.
Over which part? I didn't notice
the beginning, part. beginning. It's his whole silhouette, though. It looks like it's his whole silhouette.
It's intentional, apparently.
Yeah. What the
fuck? Oh, in space?
Yeah. Like the first time you see space and it go, it's like purple and blue. If you look at the blue, it looks like it's him.
I am literally going to see him standing. This
right now. Yeah, Brian, if you pull that. Oh, actually, no. Episode 6.
I could be wrong, but like I saw it, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm right. I rewinded it once. I'm like, I couldn't pause it properly, so I gave up.
X-Men producer explains that the cameo by the Watcher and what it means for the rest of season 1.
I mean, blood clot.
Well, but he had a cameo in episode 5, so that's why I'm wondering if he also had a cameo in this episode.
It looks like he does at the beginning for a split second.
Wild. I mean, it's not impossible.
But talking about big crazy things, Godzilla and Kong.
Wild. Godzilla and Kong.
Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah.
The New Empire. That's the full name.
Yeah.
It changes from wherever you watch it for some reason.
I gotta say, I didn't know I would enjoy an Avengers style kaiju movie, because that's all that was essentially. Someone saw Marvel do all these Avengers movies and said, okay guys, I have an idea, how about we put Godzilla, Kong, what's the butterfly one,
Mothra,
what if we just put all of them together?
Surprise.
And Mothra not in the trailer? Is that a surprise?
No. Mothra was like the hidden.
Oh, wow. Now I don't need to see that movie.
From what I was told from a friend of mine, that's
Mothra
really
a special character? Because I didn't realize people cared about Mothra.
So from what I was told from a friend of mine that's like really into Godzilla and all that information and stuff, is in the test screening that Mothra, it wasn't Mothra, it was something else. And the audience were like, I don't know who that is. Why should I care about this thing? This is nothing. And so they did a reshoot or a re-thing, and they made it Mothra. So people were like, oh, Mothra, yay! You know?
Real quick, though, before I go. Isn't Mothra the thing he blew the throat out of in the first Gojira?
No, those were Mudos. Completely different.
Thank you, Wendell. I thought that was Mothra.
No. Mothra looks like a moth, and those things look more like kind of roaches. I know it's kind of harder to explain. I know they have like these like little pincer
like grasshoppers with wings,
sort of kind of
praying mantis type,
sort of kind of praying not completely
not full, but like they have the print like praying mantis pincher types
things.
But
no, Mothra has more like looks more like a moth, has the big wingspan and everything like that.
Right,
gangster,
wild. So I mean, I don't feel like doing a full recap of this, more just a reaction to it, because
it's not really much to recap. It's more like,
I was crazy when I watched it, because I felt I don't feel like there's a lot to this story.
Well, it's interesting because what they wanted to do going in was make it more of the monsters doing their thing. Right. And so it seems like the humans here are just reacting or telling you what the monsters are going to do.
Right.
So, but it was cool. It was interesting because there's not a lot of dialogue because, you know, the monsters can't speak.
Thank you. I was going to say, you have full sections where Kong is with this little Kong just roaming around making like, blah, 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 like sounds to each other.
I thought that was cool.
I thought it was great too. I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm enjoying a movie that has no subtitles, that has no dialogue, It's all just motions and gestures. And even with the girl who doesn't speak, that only speaks in sign language, talking with Rebecca, not Rebecca, but what's her name's character, the mom. Like, and then when they meet the people, once again, no speech, telepathic humans.
Right.
Like, it almost felt like the people, and I feel, I don't mean to be rude, but it felt like the people who wrote the script were just like, less is more. Like let's just, how many pages do you have? I don't know, enough for like 45 minutes. Cool. We're just going to fill it with action and people gesturing and telepathic communication. And, you know, anytime someone talks, they're going to sound like a jackass. Like, you know, the veterinarian dude sounds kind of ridiculous. The military dude is an asshole, even though he had no reason to be an asshole. They were asking very fair questions and he would like get mad at them and threaten to kill them. And you're like, okay. Like,
yeah. Well, I think what was cool about the movie, I guess a quick rundown is just that, you know, Kong is in the opposite world. He's in the underneath world.
Yeah.
And he's chilling there. He's lonely. He's like, oh, man, I got nobody here. This is some BS. All my friends are up there and I can't be on the same plane as Godzilla because Godzilla's going crazy and come fight me. So, yeah, you know, I'm just here by myself. And Godzilla, for some reason, is roaming around the Earth, finding other Titans to beat up and level up.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, wait, what's going on? Why is Godzilla doing that?
Dude, when he gets his last, like, that fucking Super Saiyan style up, like, the charge, purple. I was like, well, that shit was cool. That shit was cool. Anyway, sorry, you were saying.
And so Godzilla feels like there's something going to happen. And then also the girl that's doing all the sign language, she's getting a message, or she doesn't know it's a message. She's getting some visions. And she keeps writing it down. And it turns out it's a message. So they go to the underneath, they find Kong. Kong meets up with the new empire, this the Scar King, that's his name.
Yeah.
So he's an orangutan, like he's a big giant orangutan. And one thing I liked about this movie is like again, like you have the monsters actually communicating with each other. So something happens with Kong where his tooth is rotting. So the veterinarian guy has to give him a giant metal tooth. And then he goes,
they give him like an adamantium tooth because there's
some kind of like adamantium or like really strong alloy, whatever. And so when the Scar King, when the little Kong brings King Kong, King Kong like befriended this little kid who was trying to like help his people.
I don't know if befriend is the right word as much as tolerate. Yeah, tolerate.
He's like, I'm not gonna let this kid die. Oh, here's some food. Have some food, man. Like, don't worry about it. Like, bygones. I know you're getting smacked around by these dudes. It's fine. It's chill. Don't worry about it. And he's like, okay, I'll bring you to the king, the head honcho here. And dude, so the head honcho, Scar King,
when he beats up the other monkeys with the little monkey. Remember
so it's like a Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong type shit?
Yeah, Dave, at one point he picks up the little monkey. And his
little monkey
beating,
was on the bad side.
Yeah. And at the beginning, the little monkey is a bad guy. And he's beating the other two that are attacking him with the little monkey. I was dying. I started laughing so hard because I was just like, that was very much an Avengers Hulk beating Loki, like the smash thing. That's exactly what it looked like. But it was just so funny to see them do this. Anyways.
And so little monkey, our guest orangutan, he's on. Brings Kong to the Scar King, and the Scar King's looking at him like, yo, who's this dude? Okay, you think you're the big... And he's like, wait a minute. And he looks at his mouth, and he points in his mouth, and he lifts up his thing. He's like, oh, this guy's got a metal tooth. Ah, he starts clowning on him. He starts clowning on him for having a metal tooth.
Dude, the fact that he got... And everyone is so afraid of this dude. Like, you know when you were in elementary school and there was a big bully, and the big bully picked on someone and then looked at you like, it's funny, right? And you're like, that's how all the other like apes were laughing and like simians. And it was so sad but also so funny to see that represented that way. Like, they're all in this like volcanic cave like laughing, but it's that thing where, you know, they show their teeth more as an aggression than a smile. It was very weird feeling when you watch that scene.
Go ahead.
Just out of curiosity, do you have to watch, and when I say have to, I mean like literally, do you need to watch any of the other Kong and or Godzilla and or
whatevers to watch this.
Monarch.
Yeah. If you want to understand.
Personally, I did not really watch any of them. Maybe except like the first, was it Guinness Godzilla movie? Matthew? Was it? I forgot the name of the director for the first one with them. That's the only that one I saw. And yeah. I haven't really watched any of them, but I was able to kind of keep up with what's kind of going on and stuff that.
Because I've only seen verses when they versus each other.
And if you saw verses, then that's right after. Yeah, this is right after that one.
Okay.
Because I would say if you haven't seen verses, you will feel no connection to the child.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, why do I care about this little kid? Who is she? Why is she important? And the flashbacks do not give her enough backstory for you to care or, I guess, even fully understand her relationship with Kong. Because, Jaws, you're saying you didn't see that one?
I didn't see that one, but I kind of got that she has connection with Kong. She's part of, like, an older tribe that, like, we're hooked up with Kong. And so I got the gist of it. So I didn't really...
Because what was your feeling when the mother seemed so protective of this adopted kid? Did you think it was her real daughter at first also?
No. I felt like there's some history here and she just wants to make sure she's getting typical mother daughter, like, oh, it's my adopted kid. I got to protect her and make sure she's okay. And it's like, I'm shoving her into school, even though she's not feeling it. And it's just a little bit weird. it's not hers.
Honestly, the idea of putting a child who grew up in a tribe her entire life in a high school seemed ridiculous to me, but that's beyond the point. I only say that because as someone who did watch that last one, when I watched it, I was just like, okay, I see the importance and value of their relationship because you know that she is the only thing that keeps Kong relatively calm. Yeah. Like in the other movie, they use her a lot to get Kong to like calm down or like anytime they like try and separate them, Kong gets really angry. So you get that sense of the importance of the character as it relates to Kong. So in this film, when I was watching it, I had moments of thinking, if I didn't know that, I guess they're filling in enough, but I also feel like I really wouldn't understand why the kid cares this much because they're not really, there's no backstory for the kid. There's just kind of like, this kid is in school. She's having like weird moments where she'll like go into a trance and will be drawing. And then the teachers are literally standing next to her. Like, hey, what are you doing? And the whole class is staring at her. She comes out of the trance and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, I get you're a mythical child from a tribe of 100-year-old tribe that was on an island with Kong that no one knew about. But I felt like if I didn't know that stuff, I'm like, who is this kid and why is she important? But I'm happy you still felt. It's good that, because I can't
even the ending where she's like, nah, I'm rolling with you. And you're like, man, that I was like, oh,
that's one point that I felt was very much done purely for Western cultures to be like, yay, the adopted child would stay with us and not go back to their long lost tribe that has been missing the entire time.
But I did like the fact that like the mom was like, I'm really messed up. I'm willing to let it go. I'm willing to, like, she's with her people.
I thought that was good.
Like she was like, I'm accepting what's going to happen because it makes sense. And she's like, no, I'm like that. You.
I like that the mother was willing to let go. She understood the importance of this child finding her home and her place. Mm-hmm. I was actually disappointed that they made the kid decide to stay with the mom because that kid lost her entire tribe and then finds out, oh, no, the other half of your tribe is here. You were the last emissary of the tribe that was sent out to be with Kong out there. And now that you found your home, you can be with us again. And on top of that, your mom is part of the head of the crew that knows how to get in and out of this place. So it's not like you can't have visitation rights. And instead it's just like, nah, I'll just come hang with you back on the planet where I'm unhappy. So that was a little weird.
I did like the fights. I did like the quick interaction between Kong and Godzilla. I thought that was really funny when they're in Egypt and Kong's like, oh, good, Godzilla. Godzilla's like running at him full speed. And he's like, good, Godzilla, here. We got to go into this portal right here. And he's like, wait, no. He just tackles him into a pyramid.
Buddy,
he's like, nah, I'm going to beat you up, son.
we have a job to – Stop punching me.
The memes were on point. My favorite meme was Godzilla just stomping out King Kong in the face, just stomping, and then Mothra's behind him, like, hey, you, stop that. And then Godzilla looks down at Kong. He's like, yo, I'm sorry. And then Kong's like, that's cool. thumbs up. It's fine.
Can we give a shout out to getting quarter mech suits? We out here giving King Kong robotic metal arm.
Oh, yeah.
Sir.
A bracer arm where he gets a power up punch.
Yo!
Everyone's getting powered up. Godzilla's getting powered up. King Kong's getting powered up. Everyone's getting powered
up. It was fantastic to watch when they put the thing on and they're just like, he's either gonna love it or hate it, and then he stands up and he like looks at it and he like punches and it's like an electrical charge and you see him go like, yeah, like Kong is like Kong strong, and you're like, yeah, that's fucking cool. But that's the thing, like, this movie is like feeding into your base instincts of like, me Kong, yeah, like it's Avengers without dialogue. It really was
It's super weird because, like, Godzilla Minus One just won the Oscar.
Right.
And then you get this big popcorn movie. Yeah. With just everyone fighting each other. Oh, yeah, there's a Titan over here. I'm going to beat that mother.
Did you get to see Godzilla Minus One?
No, I didn't get this. My friends got to see it and they really liked it. So now we have to wait a little bit for the
streaming,
for the home release in North America, because Toei and Legendary have an agreement. So it's just like, hey, you know, let our movie come out first. Let Godzilla Minus One come out first
before
your movie. And then once that's done, then your movie can come out. And then we won't release Minus One on home video until like your thing is done. It's like, it's kind of like this weird.
I know you're right. And
it's an agreement they have to have.
For sure. And I understand why. You don't want to saturate the market. You don't want to confuse people. Already, I know so many people who thought this was a sequel to Minus One. Like, everyone I spoke to was just like, oh, do I need to see Minus One? I'm like, that's not the same universe. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, Minus One is like, it's like a period piece set in a different, like, it's in like East Asia. It's Japan, I assume. But I wasn't sure. Yeah, I wasn't sure. So I just said it's East Asia. Base Godzilla story over.
I thought it was like a sequel to Shin Godzilla.
Maybe, but it's a period piece, right? Because isn't it set in like the 60s or something? It's not 2024, from what I understood.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not super certain to be honest with you, but yeah, it's mostly with the Japanese, or at least the more recent Japanese Godzilla movies, it's more of a commentary on something. And even in that movie, Godzilla doesn't even appear all that much. It's more about what's going on with the humans. And how they're just trying to navigate whatever disaster is going on, and Godzilla is there. So, but that's more of a commentary on something. So, like, Shin Godzilla was more about the ineptitude of the bureaucracy of Japan to get anything done when an actual disaster is going on. So, it's kind of commentating on what happened with the tsunami and then all the reactors going down and stuff like that.
We just got an update from one of our fellow fans, who just said it's a post, it's set in an era early post World War II, that Godzilla. So
thanks, Aranoff.
That makes sense. Yeah. So, I mean, I do want to see Minus One. I'm really sad that I didn't get to see it in theaters. There's a bunch of weekends where I kept saying, man, I should go see this. And I just didn't. And I regret that. Which is why I went to see this Godzilla movie, because I was like, okay, I'm not going to skip this one. And then
you skip the Oscar winning one.
I know. Like you guys have said in the past, I'm a glutton for punishment. I go see the stupid things. And again, I say stupid as a joke, because this obviously isn't an Oscar worthy type film. This is more, if Godzilla Minus One is kind of Oscar baity, this is the superhero Marvel, this, all the crazy action, Fast and Furious style, mix them up, your toys fighting together style movie.
This is a wrestling match.
It really is. It's funny, dude. It is 100% a wrestling match. It's like you have a character that's a babyface turned heel. Like the whole time you're looking at this little kid, it's just like you keep thinking this little kid is setting up Godzilla, because every time every time he's walking around with Kong, everything he seems to be doing with Kong feels like he's setting him up to die. And you're like, why are you trying to kill him? He saved you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it won't fix you or help you or make anything better if he dies.
He doesn't know that, though. He doesn't know until he fights for him.
I honestly don't even know if he was trying to kill him. I think he was just Do you think he was trying to kill him?
I think leading up to before they get to the Scar King, yes, because he's just like, well, he killed the other two guys. He can kill me at any moment. He can clearly kill me at any moment.
Okay.
So
okay.
If I get back to the Scar King and this guy's still alive, he's going to kill me. He's going to straight up kill me. He's going to straight up murk me. So.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Because the whole time I was watching it, I couldn't tell if this kid was genuinely trying to kill him or if things were just like Arrested Development style silly. Like, it just happens every time Godzilla does something, he almost dies, and this kid's just King like, oh, fuck, King Kong is
Kong.
Like, like, what the fuck? So, I don't know.
Rolling solo the whole time.
Yeah. I like the movie, though. I really think it was fun. I think people should check it out. It was enjoyable. Fun action. Graphics were cool. You know, you have kaijus running around beating each other up. Usually you're like, you know, once upon a time they used to have people in suits on sets, but now you have people using really advanced computer graphics to make these really beautiful, detailed. And I saw the 3D version. So
wow.
Yeah. I didn't mean to, I actually bought the wrong ticket and it was like, oh, I have to wear these stupid glasses, but
woe is me.
Yeah. But it added to it. Like, it was kind of a cool element to see the dimensions of like these characters and the movement and everything. So, yeah.
And I also do still have a soft spot for the people in suits. Cause I mean, that's a lot of work, a lot of effort to make these little models that you're just going to wreck and hopefully get the shot done in one go. And it's very expensive to do that stuff as well. But
100%. Shout outs to the OGs who did it in suits and made those films.
Those guys have stamina. Those guys have stamina. Like they were like, okay, we're gonna have this athlete get into the suit and jump around and do everything. Okay, now we're gonna take the 60-year-old guy that used to do it, and he's just outpacing them out doing everything.
Yeah. Well, dude, and you don't have these IPs if you don't have those original movies, and you don't have those original movies without the people in the suits. You know, like we joke about Darth Vader and and Chewie and all those guys. Those were all big people wearing heavy suits in the middle of deserts, filming all that stuff so that we could have Star Wars, Godzilla, King Kong, and all this content. And now that the technology is finally caught up so that they can do it without people in suits all day, blessings. But we owe them a big thanks because, honestly, I have trouble going up and down my stairs sometimes when my knee starts to hurt. And these guys, meanwhile, were in deserts, Tunisia, 6 months out of a year in a Wookiee suit. Fuck out of here. I would shoot myself if I had to live that life. So shout outs to those guys. I guess I know you wanted to talk about the gentleman. I almost feel like, you know that sketch on SNL with Keenan, where every time he brings a guest on, but the guest never gets to say anything? Yes, exactly.
What's up with that?
The fact that Dave has had the Gentleman's season one from Netflix on the list for like a month, but we never get to it. I feel so bad, but I'm sorry, buddy. We didn't get to it again.
All right, I got to bitch about what I wanted to bitch about.
Sorry today. We have to bump Matt Damon. We'll get back to you tomorrow, Matt. Don't worry
about it. Ooh, okay. But we do have a bunch of geek news and rumors before the end of the show, so I'll hit y'all with the theme right now. Geek news and rumors. We got some cool stuff. Keanu Reeves joins Sonic 3 as Shadow. I think that is
John Wick cool. The Hedgehog.
That's what Shadow is.
He's just basically cool Sonic with a gun.
I think that might have to be the title, John Wick the Hedgehog. That is pretty great.
Chaos. The Chaos Emeralds.
I don't know, because I never played. I was a Nintendo kid, so I never played any of the Sega games. I know my partner played Sega, so she's always telling me about she knows these characters. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of them, so I know there's Sonic, Knuckles,
Tails,
and Shadow, and then there was a pink one.
There's Sonic, Tails.
Oh well, yeah, Knuckles, but I meant all the hedgehogs. Knuckles. Sorry, but yes.
All the hedgehog. Oh, okay. So there's only Knuckles is not a hedgehog. So was it Sonic?
Is Knuckles not a hedgehog?
Is he not? No, he's an echidna.
Oh, there's not the same tribe.
Different.
Right.
Different animal.
Apologies. So, that's true. That's
Sonic, right. Shadow, Silver, I think. Amy Rose, which is the
is pink that the
one.
Pink one?
That's the girl. Okay. That's the girl, Amy Rose. And I can't remember any other ones off the top of my head, but those are the well, Silver's not really the main one, but
do they all have powers?
Yeah, I think if I remember right, Shadow is a clone of Sonic, I want to say.
Oh, cool. Okay.
He's supposed to be like the edgy. So like Sonic was supposed to be like, okay, Mario's is like a, you know, straight laced kind of character. Sonic's supposed to be the cool kid with the cool shoes.
Right,
this, that,
right.
Edgier, da, da, da. And then Shadow came out in like PlayStation 2 era. So like, okay. Oh man, we don't really know what to do with Sonic. Well, what if we do this character that's more like edgier than Sonic?
Wow. Okay.
Give him a gun.
Oh my god,
and make him black. That doesn't sound exactly at all.
Make him black and give him a gun is horrible once you find out. Jesus. Okay, well, that's just something I'm gonna have to deal with mentally now that I didn't know moments before. Ignorance was bliss for that one. But yeah, so but I do enjoy that Keanu Reeves is voicing him. I know that people were really excited that Knuckles was voiced by Idris because, yeah. And I think, Jaws, you even jokingly said this, Knuckles has always been seen as a black character.
Yeah, because the way his hair, the way his...
Like dreads?
Head, yeah, things come down. It looks more like dreads.
Right.
And even in the comics, some of his people in his tribe, the way they would kind of decorate their hair was kind of like how people would decorate their dreadlocks with these like little metal rings and stuff like that.
Okay, cool.
So they kind of leaned into that. So everyone's like... Cool. Yeah, probably either Australian or black or a mixture of the two or something like that.
I'm down. That sounds cool. What else have we got in news? Michael Douglas asked Marvel to kill him off on Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. I mean, this to me feels very much like, well, I guess it's not exactly.
Yeah, I was about to say Han Solo, bro.
There we go. We're all on the same page. I feel like there are actors who want their characters to have important ends, or also they're kind of just like, this I played the character and I can tell you right now this is where the character ends.
Yeah,
I'm playing this role and I see this character ending this way.
But I think also for Michael Douglas, maybe there's a certain degree of like, he probably respects his roles enough that he doesn't want to have to be written off. Like, you know, he's older, like, let's be honest here, he's older, and he probably doesn't want to have to be like, well, yeah, you're gonna, you know, if I can't come back, I'd rather be able to finish my story with my character.
I agree. Yeah, I get it. I mean, to be honest, I never liked, not anything against Michael Douglas, I never liked how old they made Hank Pym. Yeah. I'm a fan. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a fan of Hank Pym specifically. I know that he's a domestic abusive character and has a
alcoholic.
Alcohol, like. But if we're being honest, all the Marvel 60s characters, like I always jokingly say about
Tony, they all go through it.
Tony was an alcoholic war profiteer. Like, whoa.
And
now he's one of the most celebrated characters in the world. We need to address the elephant in the room. Let's be honest.
Do we go through Wolverine?
No, but that's what, yeah, exactly. Like, if you started to break these characters down as they're originally depicted when the writers of these comic books were trying to address issues in society through the comic books, funny enough for, I guess, young teens to understand better, or even the adults they were hoping were reading it. So you got characters that were probably a lot edgier, like how DC had fucking Speedy on cocaine or heroin or something. Like, they're just trying to address situations in the world. I liked Hank Pym as a character in the comic books because he's complicated, and making him the father who can't really do as much, but, and doesn't do Ultron, like, it felt kind of unfortunate for them to do that with the character. So I kind of like that Michael Douglas was like, it would have been cool to have been killed off this way. Because when I read what he said he would have wanted to do, I'm like, that actually isn't a bad way to go out, trying to save people, sacrificing your granddaughter or something.
Well, especially because of how Hank Pym is, it's like, for him to bring in the Pym particles and then save the world via Pym particles, it would have, right. Like, you know, because the only thing, like, I've never cared for the character himself, but like, it's like, it's gonna sound lame, but like, for in comic verse, he's an important figure because he's not the child of the atom, he's the child of the Pym particle, like right. You know, like,
yeah.
It's important. There's a lot of stuff that happens because of that discovery.
And dude, his whole Skrull story, when he gets replaced and the Skrull that they replace him with keeps going mad because the Hank Pym like mind merge that they're doing is causing the Skrull to feel empathy and guilt for the things that he's done and they keep having to re-imprint Skrulls with Hank Pym's brain, and you find that out, and you're just like, oh, that's heavier than you any of the other characters who went through that. So, yeah, I really think Hank Pym was a cool character, and I think Michael Douglas wasn't wrong. He would have done something cool with it. Yeah. Sticking with Marvel, Marvel makes small round of layoffs. I think what they said, 15 people from the comics and the main studio, Jaws, from what I saw.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. You know, just it's kind of something that's going on with the VFX industry in general. You know, just a big stoppage of new projects and everything like that. So everyone's feeling it.
Yeah. And the below the line people, IATSE and all them, they were supposed to maybe potentially go on a strike. That didn't end up happening, right? I haven't heard any.
I think their contracts are renewing come summertime or something like that. So,
so they might be in talks right now.
Either in talks right now or talks are soon to happen, etc. So
okay, well, fingers crossed that those guys they get their money. By the way, I'm not saying just sign a deal, but I also hope, because I think even them, the sad part about what happened last year is because they didn't work for so long, I'm sure they can't afford to go on a strike now, which is what's going to hurt them, which is very sad because they don't have that leverage to try and push for more money on their end. But, you know, at the same time, they do deserve, because you saw, like, it's great to have the actors, it's great to have the directors, it's great to have the writers, but show me a film that doesn't have the team, the teamsters, the cameramen, that doesn't have the lighting people
that make sure the electricity gets to the set, the people that build the set, the people that light it, the makeup people, like the people that cater the food, drive everybody around. Like, there's
get anyone in front of a camera on that set that if it's not built, lit, and all the things Jaws just described. So pay these people too, please. I really hope they do get their money's worth, their money, because they're owed. Like, the whole industry. Dude, when we found out, what was it, 500 new shows got made in 1 year in 2022 or something like that? You know how many people you had to hire to make all those shows get off the ground? They did the work. Those shows all went to air. We saw them all. Not all of them survived, but the good ones did. And, like, dude, they did the work. So, anyways, you know how we feel. This is a union-supporting podcast. And then what's the last thing I have? Invincible Season 4 and 5 renewed... renewal revealed by game announcement. So this one's interesting. It's a little more, it's like news slash rumor, but Skybound, who was kind of doing like a Kickstarter for a game, but they're raising funds for a game to get a game off the ground. And in the like caption or the notes for the Kickstarter, it talks about the fact that there's a season 3, and it talks about the fact that season 4 and season 5 are renewed or planned, which obviously is a lot. It probably not to be announced just yet. It's still relatively early. And I would love for them to go 5 seasons deep into Invincible, especially because this last season, I didn't review it yet because I was actually a little annoyed with how it went.
Next week.
I don't want to review it. It's more just the fact that they're not giving us a lot of episodes at a time, and that huge gap that they did was unfair. So that that causes an issue with, like, you're only as popular as people think about you, and if you're leaving huge gaps in between your seasons, you're gonna lose some momentum.
Sure.
And I feel like that's a major issue. So, but yeah, that's pretty much all the news, guys. And we still got 5 minutes. So I wanted to mention, honorable mention for something that people should check out, Minor Threats. It's a comic book. Patton Oswalt wrote it. It's essentially the story of Gotham. It's not Gotham, but it's set in a Gotham style world where the Joker has killed Robin, like Jason Todd. And it's what happens to that city after that happens. So it's really, really interesting. The Joker is called Stickman. The Riddler is called Brain Teaser. And, you know, you have a character named Playtime, who is essentially, I think, Toymaker mixed with Harley Quinn. And she is running a crew to try and find Stickman before the Batman does, who's called the Insomniac, because the Justice League knows that the Batman plans to essentially kill Stickman, and they're trying to stop him before he does it, which is reminiscent of DC.
Well, what's interesting that you're mentioning that is that apparently, because this is like the 30th or 35th year of the whole Death in the Family comic book coming out.
Oh, interesting.
And, okay. Or it's coming up. And apparently what they're going to do for that is they're going to release. So in the original version, for those who don't remember, how Death in the Family happened, before it was actually released, they actually had a polling station where you had to call in and you had to press one or two, one being does he live and one, two being does he die? And everyone ultimately voted for him to die, right? Yeah. So they actually made two versions of the comic where the last page is one where basically we saw.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and
yeah.
then there's
yeah.
one where, you know, he's alive. He's just like, you know, really, really injured. Yeah. So apparently what they're going to do, and again, I think it's this year, they're going to release like a 4-issue miniseries of what would happen if he survived.
Oh, cool. I want that. That sounds fantastic.
He'll still die anyway.
God, so sad. The reasons I brought up Minor Threats is because the original run of Minor Threats, which was a 4-issue, is being followed up now with Minor Threats, The Fastest Way Down, which dropped its first issue on April 3rd. So if you guys are looking for a new read and a universe that feels very much like Gotham, you know, Patton Oswalt is 100% writing this as if he was writing Gotham. It feels like when you, you know how, whatchamacallit, Zack Snyder movie that he made with the comedian and The Watchmen.
Watchmen.
Like, you know, when you're watching The Watchmen, you know that The Watchmen is essentially a replacement for
Charleston Comics?
For DC Comics? Like the Justice League? Like those characters are supposed to be.
Yeah. I think wasn't it that, and then I think they're like, you can use the Charleston Comics characters. I think Peacemaker's supposed to be the comedian or something like that.
Right.
And then he was like, ah, screw it, I'll just do my own shit.
Yeah, 100%. The Rorschach is the Question. What's his name?
Owlman.
Owlman is Batman. Manhattan is
Superman.
No.
Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah, he's not Superman.
He's
Not Martian Manhunter. There's another guy
isn't he supposed to be the magician
guy? I can't remember now, but there's a character that's almost omnipotent that he's supposed to be mimicking.
Yeah.
But all that to say, you like when you read this Minor Threats, you're just like, oh, cool. This is like a third version of that world. Like Insomniac is Batman. His sidekick, kid, whatever his name was dressed exactly like Robin had the domino mask. Yeah. You know, you have Night Nurse in it. Night Nurse is really cool in it because she's a psycho. Like, she's like, instead of just being Night Nurse, who I think technically Night Nurse is Marvel, but that nurse character that Batman has in his that he has in his comics, you essentially have a version of her, but she's just a capitalist. She's just like, I'm doing this all for money. I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't do this for the betterment of mankind.
Captain Atom. Captain Manhattan Atom. Is supposed to be based on Captain Atom.
Right. The Atomic Man. Right. So there you go. And then Ozymandias was who then?
Thunderbolt.
Ozymandias is supposed to be Thunderbolt?
Based on Thunderbolt.
Oh, I don't even know who that is then. I'll have to look that up. But thank you for telling me that.
I found the...
I found the list.
An article
about
it. So I'm just going Thunderbolt. Through it.
Who's Thunder?
Blue Beetle. Anyway. So Night Owl is supposed to be Blue Beetle.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. It is Blue Beetle, not Batman.
Old school Blue Beetle.
Yes. Apologies. Yeah, because that's why his owl looks like the Blue Beetle like ship. It looks exactly the same. Yeah. All right. Guys, always a fun one. Another wild... Dave, you and Skinny at the beginning. Fucking fantastic. You two are ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, hey, man, you really love the character. I get it. I mean, it does suck to see a character you love sacrificed. I still think they did it for the right reason.
Went on top.
I really don't feel like they wait. Like his death doesn't feel wasted. You know what I mean?
When your top characters are Wolverine, Deadpool, Gambit, and in the Marvel U, Wolverine, Gambit, Deadpool, and Shatterstar. and you look at the history, it's just really annoying that by chance, by fluke, my four characters are shat on historically.
To be fair, two of those characters are immortal.
Thank you.
One of them has luck. What if one of them has to die? One of them, like the one that doesn't can't regenerate or has luck on his side.
And on that note, with that very beautiful, beautifully said factual statement, Jaws, do you want to tell the people once again, Toy Armada and
Transformers Slag? So Toy Armada Podcast and Transformers Slag. Check them out on YouTube.
Peace, y'all. We're out. Have a good one.
Peace. Take care.